Okay, it's an incredible schus to be back. To be back in this holy makom. Now, just moments ago, I was davening Ma'ariv. And, you know, there's certain places you go to daven Kaimis Kedoshim, whether it's Eretz Yisrael and by the Kaisel, whether it's by Kibre Tzadikim. There's a lot of reasons we daven in holy places. We're able to allow those tefillos to fly in a different way. But just purely, when you're in such places, you feel different. And when you feel different, you could daven in a different light, and you could put more kavana, more heart, more hislavis, more passion. MS, I feel that here. I come here. If I came here just to daven Ma'ariv tonight, Dayenu. And most of the campers I didn't have the schus to see even yet. A shachris is a different level. We'll talk about that later. A maven yavin, we all know. But just to daven Ma'ariv, to be in such a place, to be in such a holy place that you have the schus to be in. I have such kinah, I have such jealousy, MS. And it's really a schus to be back home. You know, last week we were in this room and we had a very special shidduch panel. I hope those who were there gained a lot from it. I believe it was something very special. And if you weren't there, it's kedai to listen, I think, and to have the proper perspective when it comes to dating and guiding others that need that etza. And that too, in a certain sense, in a deeper sense, is Torah, but it's special to be together to learn Torah tonight. And I know that that's something that many of you don't have the chance to do enough of, or what you'd like to. Enough is obviously subjective, and you're doing enough because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and we'll talk about that. But Lamaisa, you're used to and wanting to learn more Torah, so it's really something very special to be able to come to this makom and to learn Torah together. A few days ago, we entered into the month of Av. Mishenichnas Av mematim b'simcha. We're only a few days away from Tisha B'Av. We're hoping it will be a yantav this year, and we're still davening for that. The Gemara tells us in Tainus, Mishenichnas Av mematim b'simcha. When we come into the month of Av, we're supposed to diminish our simcha. And first, before anything else, I just have to hopefully chazer for many of us. If not, it was worth coming just to hear for the first time the Torah of the Kotzke Rebbe is Zchus HaYagen Aleinu. Because we have to live every moment with this Torah. Maybe tonight we'll understand this Torah in a whole different world, in a whole different light. That line, Mishenich Nasav Amat B'Simcha, is a Gemara in Tainus. If you look in the Gemara in Tainus, Dav Chav Tes, you see that it's juxtaposed to another famous line. And the line in its entirety is, Kishem Mishenich Nasav Amat B'Simcha, Kach Mishenich Nasadar, Marbe B'Simcha. We're maybe a little more familiar with that second part of the line. We sing about that a lot. But just like when we enter into the month of Av, we're supposed to diminish our simcha. When we enter into the month of Adar, we're supposed to increase our simcha. Enhance our simcha. The Kotzke Rebbe, the Chesadik HaShavracha, tells us that from this Gemara, every Yid needs to learn that every Jew should always be b'simcha. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants every single one of us always to be b'simcha. There are times when we increase our simcha, and there are times when we diminish our simcha. But the common denominator is that we're always b'simcha. It doesn't say, Mishenichnas Adar, when you enter into Adar, start maschil lios b'simcha, start being b'simcha. The language is marbe. Marbe means to increase, to enhance. I can only increase if I was already b'simcha. I was already happy. Now I'm going to increase my simcha. So I was happy before Adar, now I'm more happy. And then Mishenichnas Av, and listen closely, it doesn't say Mishenichnas Av, when we enter into Av, we obliterate our simcha, we have no simcha. Mimat means diminish, have less. But to have less means we still have some. In other words, there are times when we increase. We're at a chasana, we're dancing, we have this increased level of simcha. There are times when we diminish our simcha. We have to know that. And during the 9 days, mematim b'simcha, we diminish somehow our simcha, the Kotzke Rebbe says. But when we diminish, we're still b'simcha. That every one of us should always be b'simcha. To be a yid means I'm always happy. I'm always smiling. I'm always besimcha. Even when I'm crying, I'm smiling. We have to understand what that means. Our smile might not be on the outside always. This Torah alone, just to chazer that Torah, to learn that Torah, to live that Torah. But there's another Torah I want to focus on, and maybe we'll understand both of them together. The Hail Gemar v'Shemesh. And the same Torah said by the Chayzim Lublin. Bar v'Shemesh have a very, very special kesher to Klein Miskalm, and all my children come from his sister. It's something very special. My wife is a descendant of his sister, so my children come from his sister. So Bar v'Shemesh says as follows. He says, this is how we have to learn this line. Yishnichnas av mematim b'simcha. Listen to it. He says, you have to put a comma in a place we're not used to. He says, Mishenichnas av mematim. When we enter into the month of Av, we diminish. We do less. What does that mean? We do less laundry. We listen less to music. Okay, maybe not here, but we'll, you know, in most places, or on your own time perhaps. We have less chasanas. Mematim. We eat less. We don't eat meat, so we don't have much to eat, so we're eating less. Mematim. Mishenichnas av mematim. But we do it b'simcha. Mishenichnas av mematim. But we do that b'simcha. But we have to understand what that means. Hear this, Torah? I mean, not how most of us learn. Mishenichnas av mematim b'simcha. When we enter into av, we should diminish our simcha. We're supposed to pause. Mishenich nazav mematim b'simcha. And I do that b'simcha. So in Hask, it's easy to relate to, right? In Hask, the whole avoid is to always be b'simcha. And the hanhagos, where most of the world of the 9 days we put to the side a little bit, which is, we'll get back to that, that's emes. It's emes shvamito. So in Hask, I can understand Mishnech Zav Mamat and B'Simcha. I'm still B'Simcha, and I'm still going to calisthenics and dancing, and I'm still trying to make my campers as happy as they could be. But what about for the rest of the world? So was this Torah just for this place? Because seemingly that line to Gemara, it's meant for the whole world. This Torah of Mar V'Shemesh, this Torah of Mishnech Zav Mamat and B'Simcha, what does it really mean? We're not supposed to be crying these days. We're not supposed to be sad these days. The Chassam Sofer, the Heilige Chassam Sofer, you know what the Chassam Sofer did on Erev Tisha B'Av? Erev Tisha B'Av. This year we don't really have an Erev Tisha B'Av because we know it's Halavai. We're not going to have it. Tisha B'Av is going to be Yontav, but it's a Nidcha. So we don't have a year where we prepare for Tisha B'Av in a way, and hopefully that's a Simen Tov, right? Like we're in L'maisa, we're not having Tisha B'Av this year at all. Like regardless of what happens. Halavai, we're still yearning for Mashiach, but just realize that. There's something very beautiful in that. We're all going to be eating on Tisha B'Av. We're going to be singing on Tisha B'Av. We're going to be dancing on Tisha B'Av. Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh. We're going to be in Big Day Shabbos on Tisha B'Av. There's a day in the Gemara that should uproot. We shouldn't even have to fast on Sunday. You guys would like that, I know. But we don't paskin that way. But L'maisa, so we're nidcha. We push it off and we fast the day after. But it's not Tisha B'Av. Literally on Tisha B'Av, on the day the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, continued to burn on the 10th as well, but when it started, the day of that destruction, the day of the calamity spoken about in the Gemara and Tainis, we're going to be eating and drinking and enjoying. So hopefully that's a Simen Tov. Hopefully that's telling us something, what's going to be this year in Mirz Hashem. That's awesome, right? It's very beautiful. But the Chassam Sofer on Erev Tisha B'Av, not a year like this. Already in the afternoon, he'd sit on the floor. And he'd start thinking about Churban and lamenting and crying. And he would literally fill up an entire cup with his tears. The entire cup with his tears. And drink that cup of tears in the Suda Masakas. We don't have a Suda Masakas this year. He would drink that cup of tears. So now we're learning a Torah that I should mematim b'simcha. I should be b'simcha every moment. Like what? How does that? It's hard to register. It's hard to understand. Like what's the avoda? What does that even mean? What does this Torah mean? What does the Torah even of the Kotzker mean? That okay, I diminish a little bit. I'm still b'simcha. What does that mean? So I have this beautiful sefer I've been learning and living and quoting throughout the summer that Mehilge Talmud, Yidid Nafshi, Elio, I guess, and Ishta Kagufa, Wissa Rebela, together gave me as a matana. Sefer Kosore Alofin. It's Torah from Ephraim Aaron Tversky Shlita. He's a Rav in Chicago, Kal Hasidim Chicago, Rav Michal Tversky's son. And each Torah has changed my life. It's mamish so beautiful. And he develops a Torah that mamish, if we take this with us during these days, we're going to live a different life. He brings down a story, a very famous story, a story that I'm sure many of us in this room have heard. But this is a story that's not just a story. This story is the deepest Torah, the story we have to live our lives by. The deepest Torahs in life are stories. You know, I know that not from Rav Nachman, and not from the Baal Shem Tov. I know from the Rabban Shalom. Look at how he opens up his Torah that he gave us. Read Sefer Bereishis. Read Sefer Shemos. It's all stories. It's all stories. The Eibishter wants to teach us through stories. So let's understand. There's a very famous story of the Rebbe of Melech and the Rebbe of Zusha. The Hilge brothers, the Naim Melech and Rav Zusha. And as was common in those days, they were thrown into jail. No, obviously they did nothing wrong. Obviously it was unwarranted. But our Oivim, our enemies throughout all of history, always were looking specifically at our leaders and threw them in jail for made up, you know, crimes. And they're sitting there in jail. And they're in the jail cell together, Rav Zusha and Rav Melech. We know this famous story. Rav Melech sees his brother Rav Zusha crying. And he goes over to Rav Zusha and says, "My elder brother, Zusha, why the tears? Why are you crying?" He says, "What do you mean? Look over there, look." And in their jail cell in the corner was a pot, and that pot was meant for them to relieve themselves and use as their toilet. And because of that, over time, they used it and it smelled. And halachically, not getting into all the details, but halachically, you wouldn't be allowed to daven in the presence of that. And Rav Zusha looked at his brother, Rav Melech. Okay, they threw us in jail, and okay, we're here without our chassidim, without our families, but I can't even daven to the Rabban Shalom. That's why I'm crying. So Hilgenay Melech, Rav Melech looked at him, and Rav Melech said, "Rav Zusha, don't you realize the same Rabban Shalom, the same Eibishter, the same Eibishter that wants us to daven to him. The same Eibishter that gave us the Torah. That wants us to learn, wants us to daven. That same Eibishter right now wants us not to daven. Das ist Ratzon Hashem. That's the will of God. The will of God right now. The desire of Ribbono Shel. What He wants from you and I is to hold back and not to daven. And therefore those holding back of not davening, to the Rabban Shalom is Kilo, we davened. It's just as precious. Because that's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's doing Ratzon Hashem." This is what the Rebbe Rebelech said to his brother. And right there on the spot, Rav Zusha took all the chizik in the world and he got it. And the two of them start dancing in the cell. They start dancing. Besimcha, that they can't daven. They're mematim besimcha. They're mematim from davening, which they want to be doing, but they had such simcha because they realized this is Ratzon Hashem. This is what Hashem wants for me. This is what Hashem wants for me. And then what happened was, the story goes, some of the guards of the cell saw this and they got the warden and they were all upset because now they're trying to bring these Jews to a place of misery. And they were happy, they put this toilet in there, and they couldn't daven, and they're crying, this was great. And now suddenly, the Jews are dancing, and they see the dancing like around the toilet. They realize, for whatever reason, these crazy Jews, they must be so besimcha with the toilet, they decide, forget it, let's get that toilet out of there. And they pull the toilet out. Now Rav Melech and Rav Zusha could daven. But the avodah is to realize in life, chevro, what's the avodah? Why do we daven? Why do we learn? Why don't we keep Shabbos Kodesh? Why do we dress in a tzniyistic way? Why do we do it all? Why? Because it's Ratzon Hashem. Because we're trying to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's what He wants from us. And if that's what He wants from us, that's ultimately what's best for us. Whether we understand it in every detail or not. We're doing Ratzon Hashem. I'm not a davener or a learner or a basanua or a baal chesed. I'm a Ratzon Hashem doer. That's what the void of life is. That's the void of life is. You think you can only serve the Ribono Shel Olam if in the perfect, right? If I'm in yeshiva on Yom Kippur and eating like a daven, if I'm set up with the best Rebbe and the best teacher and I'm in seminary and I'm in Eretz Yisrael, suddenly I find myself at my house in the Five Towns or in Brooklyn or in Miami or Boca, wherever it might be, and I'm supposed to be able to daven well, I'm supposed to be able to learn well. So in that scenario, I'm supposed to do whatever I could do at best. That's Ratzon Hashem. I'm here now. Ratzon Hashem is to learn the best I can, to daven the best I can, to do the most chesed I can. That's Ratzon Hashem. So here, you're in mamish of the most kaddish places in the world, doing chesed all day. So you're not learning as much as you learned during the year. And you might not even be davening the amount that you'd like to be davening, because you don't even have time for that sometimes. But realize this is Ratzon Hashem. I do Ratzon Hashem. And that's the most beautiful thing in the world. And therefore I'm besimcha. Therefore I'm besimcha because I'm fulfilling my tafkid. I'm fulfilling my... What brings us joy in this world? What brings us happiness in this world? How could I be besimcha? Biggest secret of the world, right? The key to happiness. The pursuit of happiness. We went to a movie about that, right? It's what everyone's looking for more than anything else. And you're not going to find it in a nice car, in a nice watch. You're not going to find it in a team that you follow that does well. Or the Maharal says that the joy, the simcha, comes from shlemus, and wholeness, completeness. When are we sad? When we're lacking something. Lacking health, lacking money, lacking a shidduch, lacking brings sadness. Completion brings happiness. What's the ultimate completion, shlemus, when I'm doing my tafkid? I was put in this world to fulfill a purpose in this world. And if I feel that I'm fulfilling that purpose, I'm going to feel whole. And if I feel whole, I'm going to be besimcha. That's our avod in life. And therefore, it's to do Ratzon Hashem. And that's the simcha of the 9 days. Mishenichnas av mematim. This is what the Marav Shemesh meant. When I enter into the month of Av, I diminish certain activities. And that, to the world, to the secular world, that thinks happiness is based on you drink and be merry. So that could bring sadness. But to me, to a yid who understands, dust is Ratzon Hashem, that's what Hashem wants me to do. I do that besimcha. And that simcha doesn't mean I'm necessarily dancing and singing. It's an innate simcha. It's being content and understanding that I'm fulfilling my purpose. I say ritzoncha, ritzono, as the Mishnah novel says. You know, imagine during these days, accidentally, someone eats meat. A yid eats meat. Now, I don't mean accidentally. You go to a siyum, that's appropriate. People always hack, because a siyum is appropriate, not appropriate. A pi chasidus, it seems a very beautiful thing. You're taking the chashivas of Torah and the connection to Torah and saying that's what uproots the sadness of these days, right? The netbach miyagon l'simcha through Torah. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. There's nothing wrong with this. That's not a loophole. That's what it's all about, actually. But if you don't have a siyum and you accidentally ate meat, I don't know, chvestesh, somebody, you know, stored some Dougie's Junior platter in a fridge somewhere and you took it out in the middle of the day, you're not thinking, your head's in 10 different places because you've been dealing with who knows what that we can't even talk about. And you go and you see that and you're like, that would do it for me. You know, a few poppers would just do it for me. And you eat it. And then you realize, oh my gosh, it's 9 days. And you feel terrible. You feel bad. You don't feel good about yourself. Okay, it was onus. It was an accident. You know God's going to understand, but ultimately you don't feel good about what you did. What do you mean? Ein simchel basar yayin. What do you mean? It's beferish gemara. Meat makes us happy. Good food makes us happy. So, what do you... I ate, ultimately, good food, whatever. Okay, if the doggy's poppers doesn't do it for you, whatever, some pulled beef or... Whatever you want to call it. A nice filet mignon from Doma. I don't know, whatever you want. Lemaisa, you did that. And now you're sad, but you ate great food. That's supposed to bring you happiness. Haviraya, that's pleasure. That's pleasure, which we all need some of once in a while, let's be real. And there's nothing wrong with that in the right moderation, in the right circumstance. But ultimately, true happiness is not going to be dependent on any of that. It's fulfilling my tafkid, it's being my true self, my best self. And therefore, in that moment when I had something that might be a physical pleasure, but it's connected ratzon Hashem, I feel like garbage. Because that's not going to bring me happiness. But if I diminish my pleasure, I diminish my pleasure, and I do it to serve Hashem, I'm besimcha from that. I'm besimcha from that. How many of us, and no one has to raise their hand, but Yom Kippur is, mamish, it might be a hard day, difficult day, but is the most fulfilling, most meaningful, happiest day of the year in a certain sense. Because you feel more than any other day that I'm on my perfect me. Because I'm just doing ratzon Hashem. There's no greater simcha than that. Now we can understand the Medrash. There's a Medrash that says as follows, in the beginning of Dvarim Rabba, right? In the beginning of Dvarim Rabba, this is part of it. Hare Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Shlo Zocha LaTorah, Ksiv Bo, Lo Ish Dvarim Anoichim. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he brought us the Torah, he said, I'm not a man of words. He wasn't a good speaker. We know he had, physically he couldn't speak well. Kevim Shazach LaTorah, Nisrape LaShonu, V'Hizchel Dabi Dvarim. Once he brought the Torah, once he married the Torah, he was healed, and he became a man of words. And where do we see that? Minayim imasha karinu be'inyan elu ha-dvar masha dibar Moshe, at the beginning of this week's parashah, the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. These are the words that Moshe spoke. What's going on here? What's going on here? What does this mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, before the Torah, was not a man of words, and then became a man of words. What changed? Why did suddenly he feel right to speak after the Torah was given? Svetorsky explains as well so beautifully. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe in Parashat Shemos. Parakim Pasuk Yud. He says, "Vatal lecha ve'esh lechacha el paro v'hotzi es ami b'nei Yisrael from Mitzrayim." I want you to go to Paro and tell him we're going to bring the Jews out of the tribe, right? That's what Moshe is told to do. But Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod v'atzmo tells him a few pasukim later, I know that it's not going to be so easy. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, imagine this. Moshe Rabbeinu is told, go to speak to Paro to bring us out of Mitzrayim. But in like moments later, said, and by the way, he's not going to listen to you. By the way, that's not going to come to fruition. By the way, it's going to fall on deaf ears. By the way, what you do is going to be meaningless. So that's when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Bayom Moshe El Shem, Biadon, at the Shem, lo ish dvarim anoichi. I'm not a man of words. Rav Tversky says, what if what was meant there? That I'm going to, why should I go and speak for no purpose? Like, why should I do something that doesn't have meaning and purpose behind it? But then later, listen closely what he says, and then we'll understand the Medrash. Then the Torah was given. And then Moshe Rabbeinu saw that all this was in the Torah. Meaning these psukim that initially were just told to him, now are part of Torah. And if they're part of Torah, the Torah is the guidelines of life. What is meaningful? The Torah is what is Ratzon Hashem. What is the desire of God? The Torah is what He wants from us and what is best for us. He knows better than us. Because Baruch Hu put us all in this world. Because Baruch Hu created all of us. And He gave us the rule book. And He gave us the guidelines. He gave us the instruction manual of how to live the greatest life, how to fulfill our purpose. It's called Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu at first was just statements. And he says the statements that are not going to come to fruition. Lo ish dvar menuchi. But then when he saw it was Torah, suddenly he becomes a man of words. He says, wait, if it's Torah, even if I don't comprehend, even if I don't understand, even though sometimes it doesn't make sense to me, I'm in. Because it's Ratzon Hashem. Amen, it's Ratzon Hashem. Elu Dvarim. And that's when he starts giving all this Musar, which Musar is all after the fact. He starts speaking about the things we did wrong, which you think, that's not who we want to be. That's ultimately the places I don't want to be. But if sometimes Hashem is specifically in that place that He finds words, sometimes the place where you don't want to be, or you don't think you're supposed to be, that's where Hashem needs you. And our avodah say, this is Ratzon Hashem, I'm going to do the best with it. We see this as well. There's another medrash. By Reuven, by Aaron, it says, by Reuven, when Reuven went and he saved Yosef the Tzaddik, he told the brothers not to kill Yosef, right? So it says, She'ilo Reuven Yodesh, if Reuven would have loved, if Reuven would have known that Hashem would have written Pesukim about this, which he did, by Yishma Reuven, Yetzileum Yadam, Pichsefo Yamalich Leitzadim, he would have taken him on his own shoulders and taken him all the way back to his father. And it says, Aaron went to greet Moshe when Moshe came back to Egypt after seeing Hashem by the Sinai. If Vilu Hayu Yode Aaron Shekresh Baruch Hu Machtav Alav Hinei Hu Yotze L'Krasecha Betupim of Moncholos HaYotze L'Kraso. If he would have known that Hashem would talk about that in the Torah, he would have greeted Moshe with drums and dancing. What's going on here? Sounds to be like Aaron and Reuven are roidev kavod, are running after honor. Like if they would have known God was going to give them all this honor in the Torah, they would have done it even on different levels. Like, really? What's that mean? What's going on? This is a similar vein. If they would have known that this was mamish ratzon Hashem, they did it because they thought it's what's right. But if they would have known this mamish ratzon Hashem, because it's in the Torah, if they would have known it's in the Torah, they would have given their all. They would have put much more into it. That's what the Torah is saying. And that's exactly what it's saying by Moshe. Hari Moshe, atchel zachul Torah, till he didn't have the Torah, lo ish dvar manochi. However, kevin shezachul Torah, hischul davar dvar. And that's each and every one of us. Our avodah in life is ratzon Hashem. What is the desire of the Eivishter? And sometimes that's that perfect world that we're taught to daven and have enough time for a long shachris and a long mincha and a long ma'ariv and to have the siddurim and learning that I want to be having and to be able to be in the perfect scenario, whatever we think is perfect, but nothing's perfect. What's perfect is the Eibishter puts us in at every moment. And for us to look at our day and look at our moment and say, what is Ratzon Hashem? And do that b'simcha. To do that b'simcha. You know what it's going to be? Not only will I understand how to live through this world and be the proper Eved Hashem, the proper Bas Torah, the proper Ben Torah. You know what will come from it? I'll be b'simcha always. I'll be b'simcha always. Because it comes from within me. Rav Pam, Zeichas Tzadikas Shvracha. Hilge Rav Pam. Rav Shiva of Torah V'das, Zeschus, my son, my oldest son, my Bechor Shmuel Yaakov, his middle name's named after Rapam. Rapam was Rav Avram Yaakov, so his middle name. Pam was Nifter and Shmuel was born a few hours later. Rapam was a Kohen as well. Pam used to always say, we're all searching for the city of happiness. We don't realize it's found in a state of mind. Meaning it's from within us. It's within us. We're not going to find it anywhere on the outside from anything. But when we have this state of mind of I'm a Ratzon Hashem individual. I'm someone who just does Ratzon Hashem, and I figure out what that is in every circumstance, every situation. Then I'm even when I'm a matim, even when I'm lowering the level of what I think I should be doing in a perfect world, I'm besimcha with it. I'm besimcha with whatever I'm doing because it's Ratzon Hashem. And we spoke about davening and hask of Meirav. I'll tell you, I enjoy more than anything. People ask me, sometimes when I come to speak and ask, every time I come, I stay over. First of all, just to be here, to talk to Chevra, to talk to whoever, you know, be here for people. But also to be able to just daven shachris in the morning. Just daven shachris in this holy base medrash. And why? Yes, to see the holy neshamas, davening. But there's something else. To watch holy Jews, some of whom are my very close Talmidim, be mevatel their own davening for their campers. And to see one counselor putting on the tefillin of his camper when it's already, until he got his camper there, it's already 10 minutes into davening because it took a long time until he could get his camper to the base medrash. And he wants to, trust me, and I know this guy, and he wants to put on tefillin himself. And he wants to get into his own davening. But he puts on his camper's tefillin first. And one counselor is outside the entire davening because his camper wants to be outside. So he's not able to even go inside. And one counselor is helping his camper the entire davening, just rip up pieces of paper, the entire davening. That's how he's davening. You know what's so beautiful? That's Ratzon Hashem. That's Ratzon Hashem. So for Arya Cohen, who doesn't have the schus to be here as a counselor, Ratzon Hashem is for me to be able to shachris, put in as much kavana as I can, and daven every word, and try to have my heart in it, and think about what I'm saying, and think that I'm standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Ratzon Hashem for Arya Cohen. But for the Yidden, the holy Jews in this place, Ratzon Hashem is very different. Ratzon Hashem might be that I'm only going to daven a Baruch Shem Barashu Yishtah, Baruch Shem Hashman Esrei. And the rest of the time, I'm going to be there for my campers. And I'm going to do that and do a pesimcha. I'm going to do that and do a pesimcha. Came to me a very special remez. You have to follow. It's a long one. It's a high number. But if you take the gematria of ma yisod hachayim liya tamid besimcha. Ma, listen, ma yisod hachayim, what's the foundation of life? Liya, to be tamid besimcha, to be always happy. Isn't that what we want more than anything else? Isn't that what we want more than anything else? You think you want other things, but it's always, if you think about it, because I think that's what will bring me happiness. Whatever it is. So if you take all of those, trust me, if you take all of that, with the oisios and with the kailo. For another time, we could discuss the depth in that, but with the letters and with the kailo, it's 1,093. Exactly gematria, asei ritzoncha, ritzona. Make your will his will. When you make your life ratzon Hashem, not davening, learning, chesed, mitzvah, ratzon Hashem, asei ritzoncha, ritzono, you're going to have tamid b'simcha. You're going to always be b'simcha. That's a simcha of these days. Yes, we diminish our outside simcha. We diminish our avoda of exterior simcha, of the worldly simcha. But we don't stop for one moment being b'simcha in my neshama. Because I'm doing ratzon Hashem. You know, there's a halakha tzaddik, the Chayzim Lublin. We said this Torah was from him as well. One year was Tisha B'Av night. And sat down on the floor for the beginning of Eicha and Kinnus. And his personal Badchan, Rav Mordechai Rakover, came over to him and had a shaila from a couple that was very bothered by the shaila. Now, it's going to be a strange shaila that has nothing to do with Tisha B'Av, but we'll see where this goes. So he says to the chayza that this young couple, and they're having many serious issues in Shalom Bayis. Unfortunately, sadly, we're not getting along. We're not treating each other properly. A lot of sadness, a lot of difficulty. To the extent, could we imagine, that the wife was so broken, and at one point she took her ksuva and she ripped it up into pieces. But then, Baruch Hashem, they worked things out, based on proper help or whatever it was, and they rebuilt, and they gave, and they're back at a good place, and they have Shalom Bayis, and so the wife, she took the piece, the ripped up pieces of the ksuva. She glued them all together, to put the ksuva all together. And the shaila for the Rebbe, the Chayza Lublin, said she was afraid, the wife was afraid the glue was made out of chametz. And being that she glued it together, she wanted to know if they could be together, if they're allowed to live together, during Pesach. This is a shaila to the Chayza Lublin, Tisha B'Av night, as he's sitting on the floor. And people overheard this, some of the Hasidim overheard this, they started like, they couldn't not hold back, they were like chuckling a little bit, like such a strange, well, really, like. And the Rebbe started crying. And the Rebbe said, don't you see that this is us and the Ribbono Shel Olam? That we have this marriage with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Ladoidi, Ladoidi Li. And over time, we took our ksuva
the ksuva with the Rabbanu Shalom is the Heilige Torah. And if we're MS, we've torn it to pieces. We don't daven the way we're supposed to. We don't learn the way we're supposed to. We don't treat each other the way we're supposed to. We've torn it to pieces. But then, Baruch Hashem, we're trying. We're trying to rebuild, and we're trying to piece it back together. So we do one good tefillah here, one good learning here, one act of chesed, and we come to spend this incredible summer and trying to rebuild and glue back the ksuva. But that's the shaila. Is it going to be enough to bring the geula? Pesach is the geula. That's what's really being asked. Is our piecing back together, the little that we do, is our piecing back together, is that going to be enough for Pesach to be together, for geula? That could be enough. That's what the Chayza said. So I just want to suggest, based on what we're sharing tonight, maybe it's true. Maybe there is a question if it's trying to piece back Torah and piece back our learning and our davening and our mitzvahs and our tznius and our chesed. And but maybe if we have a whole new attitude and we understand the yesod shebisodos, we understand what it's all about. We understand it's not about this tefillah, that piece and that piece and davening and this chesed. It's a much bigger picture. It's about Ratzon Hashem. And that I could be the person, I could be the type of person, I could be the Bas Torah, the Ben Torah, who is always doing Ratzon Hashem. Whatever that is. And that could be one day when I'm working, and that could be one day B'Shatoyev as a mother, and that's as a friend, and that's, I'm doing Ratzon Hashem. And that doesn't have to be pieces. That could be always. And it's not just pieces back together. The whole ksuva is back together. That's when we'll be zoicha. Shabbos baruch. To not even need to be matim. To be marbim. K'shem sh'mishenuch zav ma'atim b'zimcha kach mishenuch nadam marbim b'simcha. We see that these are taloi zeh b'zeh. We see that these are dependent on each other. So maybe it is. When we understand the avoida of these days, and the avoida of doing Ratzon Hashem in the proper way, and therefore, that's how I'm a matim b'simcha. Then we'll be zeicha through that, k'shem through that, to be marbim b'simcha. To be marbim b'simcha with geula, with simcha, with bracha, with yeshiach zekeinu, with the mehirah.